When you look back at the construction at that time in 74 in the U.S., what is what you would say the legacy of that project? If you're giving a lecture to someone and they're trying to understand the project, and there's the controversies and there's the success of it. So what is your perspective of the legacy of this project?
The legacy is that it provided adequate transportation for development of the oil up there, which is what everybody in the state of Alaska gets a piece of in the fall every year. Then in October, everybody gets a little dividend. The road was absolutely essential to the efficient operation of the oil fields. There's no question about that. I mean, all the stuff is hauled up there now, and the road would have been useless without the Yukon Bridge, which, again, I envisioned and got built in 1974 and 5.
So the road was built before the bridge?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of talk about maybe the bridge. What was... I did talk with Dennis Nottingham, the designer, or part of the design team for the Yukon Bridge. So he kind of went into it structurally, you know, how it was ahead of its time, its legacy.
Definitely was ahead of its time, yeah. In fact, it's still being, a lot of people still reference it for ice design, ice flow and rivers. But let me tell you what happened there. I mentioned earlier that the first contract the TAPS let was from Livengood to the Yukon River. At that point, they wanted to get to the Yukon River because they had a plan then that they'd build an ice bridge across the river for the winter. In the summertime, they'd take barges and barge across. Then they'd have access across the river. Okay, so what they wanted to do was they had this grandiose scheme. They were going to cut brush and freeze it on top of the ice and make an ice road across in the winter. And in the summertime, they had a sectionalized barge that one of the native corporations owned. I think it was Bering Straits, but I'm not sure. And it was a sectionalized barge, which they were going to float there, and they were going to haul stuff back and forth across the river on this barge. Well, the size of this...
Marl?
Marl?
Yes.
I can hear you. So talking about the Yukon Bridge...
Okay. What happened was there that the oil companies, or the Alyeska TAPS, they were going to put a bridge or an ice bridge across there in the winter and a barge in the summer. And, of course, that gave them periods in the fall and the spring when it was freezing up and the ice was going out when they had no transportation. On top of that, the amount of stuff they had to haul across there, they never could have got hauled across with the barge they had. Just wasn't enough capacity. So I saw the need to put that bridge in 1970, and when I became commissioner in February of 71 for Egan, that was one of my first things that I did was to get that bridge going on a joint venture with Alyeska. At that time it was Alyeska, they'd already converted, and we put a joint venture together whereby the state would design and build the bridge and Alyeska would pay half the cost.
And I understand that this bridge had a very long-term look in the construction of it. Because this is 30 years later, and it's...
Oh, that's not long. 30 years is not long for a bridge. That bridge will be there 100 years from now. But it's a very well-designed bridge, and it's designed for two pipelines, and there's only one on it. So if they ever build a gas line down there, there is accommodations on the bridge for a second pipeline.
Tell me a little bit about the design, though. I know you weren't the designer of the Hall Road, and you were mainly doing the review process, but can you kind of tell me a little bit about the structure of the Hall Road and what makes it unique from other highways?
Well, it's not unique from other highways. It's just a standard old construction road. We built it to state secondary standards, which is a 28-foot top, and of course our main concern was permanence, so we were looking for gravel construction and avoiding permafrost every degree that we could. And this was reasonably successful. A lot of the location, the basic location, was done by Michael Baker and, of course, coincidentally by Jim Rooney and Ralph Malachi when they kind of got the pipeline located. They kind of set the basic location. But Michael Baker and associates did most of the other design. And it's well designed, and it's just a plain old gravel road. There's nothing unique about it.
Well, in comparison to, like, the Parks Highway, the Parks Highway was a major highway.
That's what we call a primary highway. That was built to a 44-foot top. The road to the North Slope is a secondary highway built to a 28-foot top width. We're talking width. And also, the road to the North Slope is not paved; it's gravel.
Was there any consideration to making it a primary highway?
Well, not at this point. It's still pretty much a haul road. If tourism and bus tours and those things become frequent enough, or the demand is there, yeah, you could pave it, no problem paving it and going to the North Slope. But actually, a gravel road in a lot of respects is easier to maintain than a paved road, because a gravel road, something happens to take the grader down, and in 2 minutes it's fixed. A paved road, if it breaks up, you got to get a paving plant in, paving equipment, and you got a long wait.
Yeah.